A few years ago, I took a trip with the youth group from my church to a high ropes course in southern Illinois. It was the beginning of this youth group, and so we wanted to help them to build their team feeling, to establish some trust within this group of young people. So the first day we did what's called low ropes, which are these challenges of team building. So there might be a web of wires between trees, and you have to get everyone from one side of the wires to the other side without touching the wires. And there's little holes, and some people crawl through, and other people get passed through them. Or another uneven platform that everyone has to get on and keep it balanced for a certain amount of time. These are low risk activities that they participate in, but they build trust between one another. And then the next day, we went to the high ropes course. When I was a young person, I was terrified of the high ropes. And as these young people went up and saw these obstacles up in the sky, some of them had fear on their faces, and some of them had excitement. So we got everyone strapped into their harnesses and got all of, you know, everyone instructions about the safety concerns and everything. And then as everyone was getting ready to go on the high ropes, I saw a couple of young women hanging back, and they were sort of whispering to one another. And so I went up to them and I said, "How's it going? You know, what are you thinking about this?" And they were terrified. And I said, "Well, if I go with you, will you just go to the first platform?" And eventually they agreed to that. So I went up with them and we went to the first platform. And then they decided to do the first obstacle. And then by the end, they were racing one another through the final obstacle to seeing who could go fastest. These two young women took a risk. Granted, it was a controlled one. And they found themselves in the new world of a sky-high obstacle course. In our scripture lesson today, Peter takes a risk. His risk is much more significant. The story in Matthew is immediately following the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus sends the disciples out across the Sea of Galilee. He goes up to the mountain alone to pray. While he's praying, the disciples are stuck in the midst of a terrible storm. They are in the middle of violent winds and waves. Jesus comes walking towards them on the sea, and they don't recognize him. They think he's a ghost. They're terrified. Probably adding to their fear is the ancient idea that the bodies of water were ruled by chaotic forces. These waters represented evil powers. So when they saw Jesus approaching, they probably thought that he was some sort of evil spirit. However, Jesus replies, saying, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." In Greek, "it is I" is ego ami. These are the same words used to translate the divine name, I am. Those words are translated from Hebrew into Greek. Jesus is proclaiming to the disciples, "I am," that is, God is, here to trample these waves and join you on this journey. The disciples are reminded that Jesus is with them in the midst of the chaos. Then Peter responds by saying, "If it is you, Lord, then command me to come to you." And Jesus responds, "Come." Some commenters say that this is about Peter needing proof that it's really Jesus. But others focus on the courage and the faith it took for Peter to step out of that boat. Regardless of whether Peter is testing to see whether or not this is Jesus, or if he's exercising that deep faith, regardless, he takes a significant risk. He steps out of that boat onto the water. Remember, The seas have not yet been calmed. The wind is still gushing. As Peter begins to walk toward Jesus, he notices that terrifying wind, and he becomes frightened. Peter takes his focus off of Jesus. He begins to focus on the wind and the waves, rather than where he's headed. At this point, Peter begins to sink and cries out, "Lord, save me!" And Jesus immediately reaches out, and he catches Peter. Jesus rescues Peter in the midst of his doubt. Jesus says to Peter, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" The Greek word translated as doubt here is distazo, which does not mean skepticism. It means vacillation. Peter vacillates. He is focused on Jesus with a strong faith, but then is distracted by the wind. Peter's confidence is shaken by that violent storm. In this story, Peter is a representative for all the disciples. In fact, for the whole church. We often act like Peter did. We boldly step out of the boat in faith, only to become scared when we notice that wind. Sometimes the wind shows up in a financial crisis or an unexpected illness. Or sometimes it's a discouraging or skeptical statement from someone in our life. Have any of you seen the TV show Gilmore Girls? A few of you? Well, that's okay. You don't need to know that much about it. I'll tell you. For those who haven't seen it, it's a show about a single mom and a teenage daughter. Rory, the daughter, has always wanted to be a journalist. So for a summer during college, Rory interns for this renowned newspaper CEO. She thinks she's doing wonderfully. She's found her groove. She's got her rapport going with the staff and everything. Then at the end of the summer, her boss tells her, "I don't think you've got it." He doesn't think she can cut it as a journalist. He actually tells her that he thinks she'd be a great assistant. This causes Rory to get really confused. She drops out of school for a while and loses her way. This once driven, successful young woman becomes derailed by the feedback of one opinionated boss. My point here is that sometimes the winds that cause us to waffle and begin to sink can be as small and simple as someone saying, "I don't think you can do that." This can happen to whole communities as well. Communities can lose their way because they begin to pay attention to the winds of chaos. At times, churches take their focus off Jesus and lose their way. The Church of Laodicea is one such church. The letters to the angels of the churches at the beginning of the Revelation to John are messages which include harsh language and reprimand. But they're really full of hope. There are seven letters to the angels of seven churches. The Church of Laodicea is one of these. The letter to the angel of Laodicea complains that this church is neither hot nor cold. I did some research on this language and discovered that the reference to being lukewarm is probably a reference to the water that Laodicea had access to. Laodicea did not have a natural source of water, so it came via an aqueduct. And that path made the water lukewarm by the time it reached its destination. And lukewarm water was very unappealing. It didn't have the same refreshing properties of cold water, nor did it have the healing properties of hot water from hot springs. Then the letter goes on to describe the risen Christ standing at the door, knocking. He says, "If you hear my voice, open the door. I will come in to you and eat with you and you with me. The message is this: if you make a decision, if you choose to respond, to open the door, then you will be greeted by Christ, who will come in and share a meal. There's the hope. If you open the door, Jesus will be there. The Church of Laodicea is being called to stand for something. I wish that you were either hot or cold. I wish that you would take a position. I wish you would be about something rather than being so wishy-washy that you're about nothing. At this point, you might be thinking, why is she speaking to us about being lukewarm? We don't have that problem. We have tons of energy, and we're an active church doing exciting things. We care about one another deeply. We are a welcoming, friendly place, far from lukewarm. Indeed, sisters and brothers, CCB is all of these things. The CAT survey conducted this winter shows that there is both high satisfaction and high energy. We are happy with how things are going, and we have the necessary energy to do great things. Do you sense the but that's about to come? Here's the but. If we decide to sit back and enjoy these high scores, we will quickly lose all that energy. That path then leads to decline and decreased satisfaction. If we simply thank God for the positive and then forget about following up with the rest, then we will lose out on an important opportunity. So the challenge to us today is to be like Peter, to take a risk, to step out in faith, open the door and let Christ in. Jesus says, come out of the boat. Christ is knocking on your door. It is up to us as a community of faith to respond. It is us to step out in faith. So, Community Church of Barrington, what are we going to stand for? How can we choose to be either cold or hot and not lukewarm? For what are we willing to step out of the boat? For whom are we willing to risk? Our biggest challenge at this time and in this place is to discover together what we are willing to risk for. What will CCB decide together to rally around and make a move towards greater commitment and greater action? If we focus on Christ rather than on the winds, what might we be able to do? What Christ-centered mission is God calling us to risk for? Are we called to be a place where young people are welcomed and nurtured? If this is our mission, how might we take a risk for it? I wonder if the church might choose to get more involved in the lives of your young people. Don't let Dr. Sammy do all of the work. We can support our youth by becoming engaged in their lives. Invite them into conversations about their interests and their passions. Show up to their performances and their games. Step out in faith. Or are we called to be a church that feeds the hungry? If so, how might we take a risk for that mission? There's a pile of produce behind me, and that's an important ministry. How might we do more? Who is already addressing issues of hunger? How can we partner with them? How might we dig deeper beyond feeding the hungry to looking at why families are without food and helping to fix those problems? Is it a problem of access to the grocery store? I know in Chicago there are many neighborhoods that are called food deserts because there aren't any stores at which to buy good food. Or is it a lack of money to purchase food? How might we engage the issues of economic inequality which lead to hunger? Community Church of Barrington, step out in faith. Or are we called to serve the homeless? The women of CCB are currently weaving mats for the homeless out of recycled grocery bags. This is great. How might we take a risk and do more? How can we engage with an organization serving the nearby homeless population? Can we volunteer regularly? I wonder if we might decide to advocate for affordable housing, which would help prevent homelessness. Community Church of Barrington, step out in faith. These are just a few ideas that I thought of, which are connected to things we are already doing. But we will need to listen to one another and decide together what we want to invest in. Collectively, we will discover something unique to CCB. Where are we willing to take a risk? Now, let me be very clear for this one moment. This is not a time to ask Pastor Zena for the answer. Whatever CCB decides to risk for must come from within all of you, the body of Christ. It should bubble up from the passions of this community of people. Pastor Zena is certainly a resource, and she is ready to support you, but this should be about what you want CCB to be. CCB, I invite you to take a risk. Step out in faith. Follow Peter's example. Get out of the boat. Try something impossible, trusting in Jesus to catch us if we begin to sink. Remember that even when Peter is scared, even when the winds and the waves threaten, Jesus is with him and catches him. For us too, there will be moments when we are terrified, when we begin to sink. Stepping out in faith is not easy, and we often falter. We begin to worry about the wind and the waves. We see all the threats around us, and we begin to sink. We begin to worry about money. We get discouraged when a program or initiative doesn't work. Or sometimes, like Rory Gilmore, we are thrown off track because someone tells us we can't do it. Don't let those fears keep you in the boat. Remember that when we begin to sink, Jesus reaches out his hand and catches us. So take the risk. Step out in faith, trusting that God will be with you and God will catch you when you stumble. Step out in faith. Amen.